Sziasztok, nagyon sok szeretettel köszöntünk titeket az Érted Podcast legújabb adásában. Ahogy láthatjátok, újra itt vagyok Póllal és Tányával, akiket már megismertünk egy korábbi epizódban, és hallhattuk azt, hogyan érkeztek ide Kanadából, hogyan hívta az úr őket. Hogyha kíváncsiak vagytok erre, akkor ezt megnézhetitek akár most is. Viszont ma egy újabb témát fogunk velük átbeszélni, és újból angolul fogunk velük beszélgetni, de ha szeretnétek, akkor ez a rész is feliratozva van, amit az alsó menüpontban beállíthattok. So, Paul, Tanya, hi again. It's nice to be here again. And since our last conversation was very interesting, I thought I'd bring another topic that is really, really relevant for our listeners, and that is decision making. In our 20s and 30s, you have a lot of decisions to make, like who to date, where to study, whether to buy a house, and so on. And these are all decisions that has a really big impact on our life, and it's important to make the right ones. However, we often feel anxious when we have to make those decisions, and it's difficult to hear God's voice in these situations. So in this time, we regret that God doesn't speak to us through burning bushes or like angels, like he did in the Old Testament. But in these situations, when we have to make a decision, how can we hear God's voice?
Yeah, great question. And our hope and goal by the end of this podcast is that those answers are all, or questions are all answered, you know, who I'm going to marry, what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. So in the next, I can promise you that in the next, you know, number of minutes, we'll answer all those questions. So
we will be the most listened podcast ever.
If that was the case, yeah. Big questions. They're tough questions. And certainly it would be a lot easier if God just came in a burning bush. And I hear that. You know, I think a couple things I want to say at the outset to kind of frame this, to help us as we begin to dig into it deeper and deeper. The first thing I'd say is like, we need to recognize that God, although he may not speak in burning bushes like he did with Moses, we need to understand that God is a God who speaks. And when I say that, I mean that in two ways. One, he has the ability to, but he also wants to. Like, there's a desire to speak. So he's got the ability to, and he wants to. You know, it's really interesting when you look at, say, like Psalm 19, and it talks about the just the multiple ways that God speaks. He speaks through creation. He speaks through himself. He speaks through his word. And so the psalmist is just recognizing that God is a God who speaks. And so that's kind of just the reality of it. But he wants to. You know, Jesus says that in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary, and learn from me. Like, there's this desire that comes from God, I think, to speak to us. You know, and that's even what Jesus says to the disciples as he's leaving, right? He says, like, the Holy Spirit will come and will teach you all things. Like, it's better for me to leave as the church grows so that the Spirit of God can be in the church and can be in believers to speak. So I think that's the first thing that we need to recognize. And I think that's a good foundation, is that God is a God who speaks, and he longs to speak. But I think then there's kind of two questions that follow that up is one, do we really listen? You know, I think so often we say, oh God, just tell me what this is or tell me what that is. But I think we do need to challenge ourselves a little bit to say, like, do I actually listen? Like, there's so much noise in this world and there's so much influence in this world. And I think the question we need to ask ourselves is what voices are we actually listening to? Like, what is actually driving our decision making? I remember having a seminary professor once who said, like, I think Google knows me better than my wife knows me. And that's the sad reality of this world. Like, hopefully, I think Tanya knows me better than Google does. That was the seminary professor. I didn't say it. But I think that's the sad reality, right? Like, where are we going for solutions on answers or questions to our answers to our questions? It's Google and it's the internet and some of these other things. And so I think the question is, are we actually sitting down to really listening? And then the third thing, and I think we'll dig into this a little bit more, but I'll just say it generally now, is like, how are we listening? Like, in what ways are we actually listening? Like, what does it mean for us to really dig into scripture? And what does it really mean for us to dig into prayer? Like, even for me personally, in this last year, year to year, I'll sort of change up the way that I'm reading scripture and the way that I'm engaging with the Lord in those times. But, you know, even this year, I've read Matthew hundreds of times. And this year, I've just dug into it in a bit of a different way, really studying Matthew. And the Lord's been using that to just reveal himself to me in a way that I haven't seen in the past. But just because it's, I've been asking that question, like, how am I really listening? And when you really do listen, you really dig in, he speaks. And so I think that just kind of lays a bit of the foundation on that. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to say kind of one simple thing, and that is it's good that God doesn't just speak to us in burning bushes anymore or just through angels. Like there's this paradigm shift that we see in scripture, right, from Old Testament to New Testament, where Old Testament we saw these very specific situations where God comes in this incredible miraculous way and just speaks, and then we see this shift in the New Testament where as Paul was saying, Jesus sends his Holy Spirit, and it's Jesus characterizes this in John as, this is going to be your helper, this is going to be your advocate, I'm sending you the Spirit for your benefit, and it's going to be better for you that I'm gone, that you're going to have this Spirit to operate in, to walk in. And you see that shift happen in the disciples in the midst of Pentecost, where the Spirit comes. You know, pre-Pentecost, we see the disciples still casting lots on who that next disciple is going to be. You know, after Judas's betrayal, they try to fill that position, and they cast lots to determine that. And then when the Spirit comes, it changes. And you see that narrative change in Acts as the Spirit, as the disciples are thinking about making decisions and where to go and how to go on mission. They say, you know, the way it's translated in English is, it says, you know, it seemed good to the Spirit and us, and that's the way they walked. And so there's actually something really beautiful in that, that we get to walk in our lives and our journey with the Lord, and we have the Spirit at work in us to guide us in that. And I would say, as I think about hearing God and making decisions, something that I've learned in this journey of walking with the Lord, of the Spirit kind of working in my life in that way, is it's so much more of a process, and it's so much of this formational journey, that process and that journey of making the decision is almost the greater thing than the decision itself, if that makes sense. So you're going to get to a decision, you're going to need a clear direction, but it's that process of getting there, of walking with the Lord humbly, His Spirit guiding us, His Spirit working in us, of teaching us how to hear, how to listen, how to know His voice, that is the richness of what it means to walk with Jesus and make decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in addition to that, the story of Elijah came to my mind. Mm-hmm. Like, he was looking for God in the big things, like in a fire, in the wind, in the earthquake, these loud things. Yeah. And that's how we function. Like, we want big things to hear from God, big revelations. But he found God in the silence. Mm-hmm. And God is speaking to us, but maybe he's not saying to us what we want to hear. Mm-hmm. Like, he's saying to us to be respectful to our parents, to give to the needy, and to love everybody. Mm-hmm. And until we're not faithful in these small things, we won't hear those big things from God. Mm-hmm. And it's really important, because as young adults, being in our 20s and 30s, we go for lots of places to hear feedback, to hear advice. And the Bible says that my sheep know my voice. Mm-hmm. So as Christians, how can we separate the voice of God, the will of God, from other voices?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. Yeah, I mean, I love the picture in John 10 about the sheep and the shepherd, and that whole relationship of knowing the shepherd's voice and understanding the shepherd's voice. It's really interesting because, you know, part of our work, we're bringing Canadians and North Americans over to Romania, and they're doing short-term mission trips, and they're experiencing Romania, and there's a lot of new things that they get to experience here. And on one trip, we had this guy that was in the village of Sentkirai with us, and he was supposed to come work at the camp that day and do some construction, but he just felt led instead to hang out the whole day with the shepherd in the village. And he just wanted to know, what does it mean to be a shepherd? Because in Canada, we're so disconnected from that. Like, rural to city is just such a huge gap that we don't know where our food comes when we go to the grocery store. There's a big disconnect. And so
I didn't even see a sheep until I moved to Romania. So I mean, that's the disconnect.
That gives you the context. Yeah. So this guy, he just wanted to spend the whole day with the shepherd and just to learn a little bit more about what is this imagery that we see in the Bible. And after that day, he just had so many just interesting insights, where he said he didn't realize, you know, to be Hungarian and be very direct, he didn't realize how dumb sheep are. Like, they literally need to be told everything from the shepherd. They need to be told when to start eating, when to stop eating, where to go on the hill. And they just are so dependent on the shepherd. And the reason why they listen to the shepherd, and he even noticed when strangers would come by, and even himself being a stranger, the sheep were scared of him. They didn't want to come near him. And he realized, just in spending that day with the shepherd was out there all day on the field with his sheep. The reason why the sheep knew his voice is because they spent time with the shepherd. right? They know the voice because they're digging in completely with the shepherd. They're completely dependent on the shepherd. They're looking to the shepherd for every single direction of their life, of their existence, because they know their need for that. And so I think the biggest thing of understanding, you know, the shepherd's voice and distinguishing it from other voices and trying to figure out, is this the voice of God? Is this the voice of the world? Is this not God's will for my life? It really comes down to knowing the voice of God by spending time with Jesus. I mean, you think about a baby in the mother's womb. The baby comes out knowing and recognizing the mother's voice. Why? Because it spent 9 months in the mother, learning the voice, hearing the voice. And so there's this connection that comes because there's this intimate relationship and time that's been spent with the mother. And so I would say the greatest thing for us knowing, yeah, the voice of God is spending time, true, deep, intimate time with Jesus. And in that, we start to distinguish his voice from the voice of the world or other voices or other influences. And there's affirmation that will come in that about how we know Jesus's voice. There's peace within that. I'd say a lot of times when we think about hearing the voice of God, people hear differently, and that's okay. We're not all built the same way. We're not all designed the same way. There's uniqueness to the way that we hear from God and the way that we know the shepherd's voice in that. Paul and I, we've been married now for
13.
Yeah, Paul knows better than me. We've been married for 13 years. And that's an interesting journey when you get married and you're trying to discern together what God is doing in your life and try to understand the voice of the Lord in that, how he's calling you. But him and I, we hear from God differently. I don't know if you have more you want to say to that in terms of how you hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we certainly do. And I think that's the uniqueness of the way that God creates each and every one of us. That, you know, when Tanya and I sit down to pray about a decision, you know, the way that the Lord would speak to me through scriptures is going to be a little bit differently than the way that Tanya or that the Lord would speak to Tanya. And I think that's the beautiful thing of marriage is coming back together and be like, this is how the Lord spoke to me and sharing that. And then Tanya sharing kind of the way that the Lord spoke to her
too. And so I'd say there's this aspect of us hearing and knowing the voice of God where it is a communal reality. You know, a lot of the times we think, if I'm going to hear from God, it's going to be this individual experience. And there's 100% an individual experience that we each have with Jesus and the ways that he speaks to us. But as we've seen in our marriage, there's this communal reality to how we hear from God. That as we sit together, as we pray together, as we read the word together, as we talk about life, as we talk about what God's doing in our lives, we start to hear from God and it's unifying. There's affirmation in what we've heard. There's peace in what we've heard. And that's a collective thing. And so I think that helps us distinguish the different voices we hear is when we bring that before the Lord and we bring that through our Christian brother or sister community as well.
I think one thing just to emphasize that I think is really relevant to young adults specifically is, and you said this, Mark, like there's such stress and anxiety over every decision I'm making. Like, who am I going to marry? That seems like such a big decision to make. What job am I going to have? Such a big decision to make. What college I'm going to go to? I mean, such a big decision to make. Like, I remember Tanya and I actually back in Canada teaching on God's will and hearing his voice for an entire weekend conference once to young adults. And we taught the entire conference and we got to the end and we just said, like, does anyone else have any questions after the entire weekend? And it was like, everybody put up their hand and they're just like, I'm so afraid of missing God's will, like collectively. And you're like, well, we did a poor job of teaching on God's will and hearing his voice if that's where we're at the end of the week. But you could just, even after a week of talking about it, or a weekend of talking about it, you could still sense that fear and anxiety. And I think just to kind of emphasize what Tanya said, you know, now looking back on that, you know, being kind of 10 years down the road from that stage of life, just, you know, each of those decisions feels so important, and they are important decisions. But I think often we look at God as if he's somewhat of a genie in that. Like, God, if you just tell me, like, who I can marry, then you've done your job, and I'll go marry that person. If you can just tell me what job I can have, then you've done your job, and I'll go marry that, or go do that job. But that's just not how God operates. Like he's not just this genie. Like he really is just this, as Tanya's talking about, someone that we journey with, that's this relationship that we learn to hear his voice. And that just grows more and more. And I've just found for me, like in terms of who I marry and what job I have and living in Romania and some of those decisions, like those were big decisions, but those were incredible opportunities as I learned more and more about how to hear God's voice in the midst of that. And didn't always get it right. Like again, you know, as we said in the last podcast, I said no to coming to Romania, you know, but the Lord was so gracious to just continue to speak to me, continue to lead us in that decision. And so I think part of it is we need to kind of reframe how we see God and how he speaks to us, and learning that yes, this is a relationship that just takes time and decisions will naturally come out of that, if that makes sense. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, so that also worked for me. Like when you have a thought, just meditate on it. Like just wait for God to confirm that thought. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that God is not the God of confusion, but of peace. So just wait until it becomes clear. But let's talk about the practical ways, like how to make a decision. Like you just got a thought, and what happens between that thought and the practical thing, like when you're actually doing this?
Yeah, good question. I think, you know, just cast lots, you know, like just pick a number out of a hat. No, as Tanya said, we don't do that anymore, you know, since the Spirit came. And I think that's important to know. And so I think for me, as I've sort of processed through this, there's kind of a couple of things that I keep in mind when I'm making a decision, when we're making a decision. A couple of practical things. One is like taking a time to fast and pray and listen. Like I think that is really important. And when I use the word fast, like I think sometimes we just really think of it sort of in the religious sense of just stopping to eat. But like even for Tanya and I, there's been seasons where we've had to make decisions, big decisions, and we'll take a month or a week, whatever that time frame is, and we'll fast from evening television, whatever we're going to watch, and just say, okay, rather than watching TV tonight or whatever our normal activity is, like we're just going to take that time to pray, like a more intentional time. And so I think that's the first thing. I know probably everybody's saying, well, I do that already, but like I think there's seasons that just need to have more intentionality of like fasting, praying, and listening and writing down. I mean, you look at it with Jesus, like before he picks the 12 disciples, what does he do? He spends the entire night praying. So I think there are sort of those intentional seasons where we just need to spend those times there. The Lord is so gracious to speak in there. And honestly, he may not, as we've experienced, he may not give you the answer in that time, but there's just some really rich things that come out of that. So that's the first thing I'd say. The second thing I would say too is God does speak through our emotions. I know a lot of times, especially as evangelicals, we're afraid of our emotions. And I think, there can be a sense of like, you know, I think there can be a fear of the world where it's like, just go do what makes you happy. And that's not what I'm saying. You know, certainly the Bible says our heart is deceitful above all things. I know that. But I think the Lord has made us emotional beings, which means I think he can speak through our emotions. And I think when we can submit those emotions to the Lord, he'll speak that to us. And I know for me, even very big decisions where I'm quite emotional about it, when I submit that to the Lord begins to bring joy and peace in those decisions and those areas that he's calling me into, and almost brings this like discouragement and dissatisfaction in the ways that I'm not ought to go. And I think the Lord just used that. Like I remember a massive decision I had to make years ago and just feeling almost sick to my stomach and going to the Lord and just saying like, Lord, you're a God of my emotions. And so if this isn't of you, make that emotion stronger. And if this is of you, then take that emotion away and give me peace. And I remember that got stronger and stronger, and it led me to the decision I had to make. So I think God is the God of emotion. So I think submitting that to him. I think the third piece is as you're doing that, beginning to see like, okay, what doors is God opening? What doors is he closing? I think just continuing that prayer, like God, close this door, open that door, and being really open to that. The fourth thing I'd say in there, and this is turning into a sermon, I apologize, but the fourth thing I'd say is, again, seeking counsel, like wise, godly counsel is really helpful in that. As you're processing, as you're praying through, speaking that out to somebody to say, this is what I think the Lord's saying, and then hearing that back is really helpful. And then once you kind of come to a decision, the kind of the last thing I would say in that is walking in humility in that decision. And both those words are really important, walking and humility. I think a lot of times, especially as young adults, when we're trying to make a big decision, we're frozen. We don't want to make the wrong decision, so we do nothing. I had a friend like this back in Canada where it just felt like he could never, he was so afraid of making the wrong decision that he didn't do anything. And that, I think that delayed who he married for 20 years. I think that delayed the job he had for 20 years. And I just don't think it was God honoring. Like, it's just, no, just walk, like be faithful to what you've heard. And so that takes courage and that takes faith, but we're called to have courage and faith. So I think there is that reality of kind of walking with what you've heard, but in humility, that like being so open that the Lord would stop you and so open that he might even trip you and might even lead you in a different direction. There has to be a sense of, Lord, I feel like you're calling me in this direction, but I'm going in so much humility that you can lead me sort of in another direction if it ought to be in that way. Because I think the flip side can be true, where I know young people, and I have had friends where they've just made up their mind and they've gone in this direction, and you know it's not of the Lord, but they're so confident in that they can't hear that, and it leads them into really difficult places. So I think just that reality of walking in humility. So
thank you. That was so encouraging. And there are moments when you have to make a sudden decision and you don't have time to pray, to fast, to study the Bible, just like you said. How to make decision in these urgent moments?
You just have to go through Paul's 5 steps just really fast.
In 5 hours.
Yeah, that's all you get. No, I think it's a good question. I think it's a really, you know, practical question. That's the reality we live in, is sometimes we just really need to make a decision quickly. I mean, the first thing I will always say is, when you feel that pressure to make a decision, is bring that first before the Lord. Like, is this actually a pressured decision? I think sometimes when we think about decision making, we just automatically put that pressure on ourselves. And so sometimes the Lord will speak to us in that and say, hey, actually, you don't need to make this decision right now. Like, just slow down a little bit. If there's one thing that we've heard over and over and again in our lives, God's like, okay, slow down. Walk with me in this, as Paul said. You got to do that walk. And so the first thing I would say is, just don't jump to the conclusion that you do have to make that decision right away. I would even submit that part to the Lord. But there is still times where you do have to make quick decisions. And we see this actually in scripture. One of my favorite little moments that you see in the Exodus story is, you know, Moses has gone through this journey. The Israelites have gone through this journey. They've gone through the 10 plagues, and they're on their way escaping. They're on the run. The Egyptians are coming after them, and they're before the Red Sea. And you see Moses stop, and he lifts, you know, he's lifting his arm. He's crying out to God, and he's trying to, you know, bring this big prayer together. And the Lord says, why are you crying out to me? Like, move, you got to go. Like, those Egyptians are coming for you. Hold out your staff. We'll separate the Red Sea and you can go. Like, it's a moment where God's like, no, you need to make a decision right now. You need to follow what I'm going to say and you need to move. And so we see it in scripture that there are moments where you just have to make that decision. What you see in that story though, is Moses has this incredible foundation that he's operating off of, right? Like, he's had this incredible encounter with God at the burning bush. He's walked through the plagues. He's in this path of obedience, of walking with the Lord, that I would say, if we have that good foundation that Paul's talking about, where we know how we operate, if we know the shepherd's voice because we've been spending time with Jesus, then even in those quick moments, our decision-making should still be an outflow of what the good fruit is in our life, if that makes sense. You need that good foundation. If you're constantly spending time with the shepherd, then even when you have to make a pressured decision or a quick decision, it's still going to be an outflow of good fruit of what's happening in your lives. And so I would say that foundation is just so important to lead us in those quick decisions. I'd also say that sometimes we do have to make a quick decision, but God's grace is in that, where he'll help us know quickly what we need to do. And God's grace is in that, where he'll help correct us. So even if we make a quick decision and it's not exactly where the Lord was wanting us to go, or it's not going to be the greatest thing for us, God's grace is in that. If you are walking with the shepherd, if you know the shepherd's voice, even if you slightly kind of veer off your own way, he'll call you back to where you need to be. He'll show you the path that you're supposed to be on. He'll show you where he's guiding you. And so you see God's grace in the midst of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the last few weeks, I had a similar situation where I had to make a decision really fast. And my two options, both of them were good. I mean, yeah. And I did what Paul said, like, just bring my friends into that decision. It also said in the Proverbs, like, wisdom comes from the counsel of many. So bring your situation, bring your decision to your friends, to your spiritual brothers and sisters, to your mentors, and they can give you advice. They can bring to you perspectives you don't see, and they can help you. So yeah, but it's very important that what they say is to be backed up by the Bible.
Yes.
So yeah. And there is another side for this decision making that I think we're all been through. And this is when we often feel like God told us something, but it doesn't happen that way. Why is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a big question.
Yeah, it is. And I think it can be, for me at least, the way I felt is it can be frustrating and it can be confusing, especially again, if I go back to where I started, where God is a God who speaks to us and he wants to speak to us. Certainly there's been times where I'm like, Lord, if I'm not hearing from you, or if I feel like I've heard wrong, like, why is that the case if you're a God that wants to speak to me? So I think just kind of that reality that I've experienced that same frustration, you know, that inner turmoil of why is that the case? But I think, you know, for me, a couple things come to mind. One is the reality is we're sinful beings. And so I talked about our emotions a little bit earlier. Our emotions do get mixed up in that, and we make decisions and we hear things that isn't always correct. And so I think we just need to recognize that there's going to be times where we discern wrong. We think we've heard something and it's just not there. And again, having grace, the Lord has grace for us in that. And I think we need to have grace in that too, of the correction of hearing wrong. I think another piece to that too is sometimes it feels like we've heard wrong, but we haven't. And I think part of that is just that God doesn't always give us the full picture. And so we've just been given this kind of this slice or this piece. And that's, again, I think because of his grace. Like in some respects, if the Lord had shown us the entirety of our 10 years in Romania, like I don't know if I'm so glad that we're here, but you know, I don't know if I would have been like, whoa, let's go do that, you know, but the Lord was gracious to give us a slice. I look back on the 10 years and I'm like, there's nowhere else I'd rather be. I'm so glad we're here. But if he had spoken the entirety of it at the start, like that, it would have been a different call. It would have been a different, it may have been a different answer for us, or it would have been more difficult. And so I think God is gracious just to give us a piece of that. I mean, you look at the disciples, I think sometimes we just don't even see the full picture. Jesus certainly throughout the life of the disciples is like, hey, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die. I'm going to raise again. Like, don't be afraid. And he warns them of that. And then he goes and dies and they're like, they're so rattled by it. They're so thrown. They're like, this is the Messiah. Like when he came in on the donkey a week later, coming into Jerusalem, they're like, okay, here's the Messiah. That's what they had pictured him being. When he goes to the cross, they're like, I think they're in this place because they're hiding in the upper room afraid. Like they're probably questioning everything Jesus taught them, right? Like they're probably in that moment of being like, did we hear wrong? Like our Messiah, the King, God is dead. And I think they had that crisis moment. But for whatever reason, they couldn't understand the full picture. You know, Jesus then raises from the dead. He comes and sees them. I mean, even to the point of Thomas being like, I don't even believe it, you know, and Thomas had been with him for, the 3 years. And so
I like your Hungarian pronunciation of Thomas. That's really good.
Can't say Thomas anymore. It's only Thomas. And so I think that's part of it is like, we just don't always have the full picture. But yet that's not saying it's not true. It's just, we don't have the full picture in it. So I think a couple of those things come to mind for me, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember, right when Paul and I had met and we were in the process of getting married. So I think we're engaged at this point. I was becoming a teacher. That was kind of my path. I grew up in a different province than Paul in Canada. And so I was moving to Paul's province and I was having real issues actually with getting my credits transferred, like getting my education transferred because I needed to finish my degree in this next province. And that was confusing because I knew for sure I was supposed to marry Paul, but my education wasn't lining up. And it turned out that I actually had to take a full year off my teacher education program. And that was so disheartening because I just felt like, no, the Lord's called me to be a teacher. Like, why is it that this isn't working out? And I know the Lord's called me to marry Paul, so why isn't this working out? And in that year off that I had, I actually ended up going to seminary and studying the Bible in this really deep way that just profoundly changed my life and even opened up my eyes a little bit more to what God might be calling me to. And after that year, I was able to finish my ed degree. And as I look back at that, I realized that was actually a preparation for something else God was calling me to that I wasn't ready for. And that calling was to become a missionary and to dig deeper into his word and what that calling, what it means to be a missionary and what it means to be called to the mission field somewhere else. And so God was doing something different in my life than I even realized. And there was this way that I saw his grace work in that, because that wasn't the picture that I had for my life. And yet I'm so grateful that that's the journey that I got to go on, because that meant that I could come to Romania. And even being in Romania, I've seen how he's used my education degree, how he's used my seminary in ways here that I would never have imagined that would have been the outflow. And so I think sometimes when we get that frustration, which is such a real feeling, I know that feeling. Again, what Paul said, sometimes the Lord is doing something bigger in our life that would completely overwhelm us if we realized all that he was doing. Like changing, moving to a new province and getting married was big enough. If God had told me, oh, by the way, I'm doing this because you're going to eventually move to Romania, I would have been like, what's happening right now? I don't know if I'm prepared for this or if I can do this. And so there's the Lord's grace in that, in terms of how much he shows us. I think the other thing that comes to mind is, again, what I kind of said at the beginning is that the process of making a decision is so much about what decision making should be about, more than just the answer, because it's this formational journey that God brings us on. He works in that frustration, and it's this time where he's molding us and he's edifying us and he's trying to refine our lives and bring good spiritual fruit in our lives. And so it's this wrestling that we're having as we're making our decision that's actually really good. And there's this picture in Jeremiah 18 of the pot and the clay. And the picture is actually about Israel's disobedience and how they weren't molding to what God was calling them into. But you see this picture where the potter is taking the clay and he's trying to mold it into what it's supposed to be. But the clay has its own will. Like if you know anything about pottery, the clay also has its own imperfections in it that kind of dictate the way that you can make the shape. And the potter gets frustrated because it's not molding the way it should be. And when we think about decision making and being on a journey with Jesus on trying to figure out what his will is for our lives, it is that picture to me where it's going to be this formational journey where we as the clay need to make our lives more and more moldable to the potter. And sometimes that's frustrating because we have our own will and sometimes we have our own way of doing things and we have our own vision. And so, there's just a bit of a journey in that. And so to kind of go back to a couple things Paul was saying, I think the greatest thing in terms of experiencing that frustration of feeling like I thought I was called to something, but God's done something else in my life, it just comes down to the way that we posture ourselves in decision making. And we need to have a humble heart. We need to have a humble heart where as we make decisions, we're still open-handed to hear from the Lord in that, because he wants to journey with us in that decision-making process. Even as we come up with an answer, he's still going to journey with us in that. And so I think that humility is a big part of it. Mm-hmm.
I think even as I look back, you know, over the last number of years, like I'm actually really thankful for some prayers that I lifted up to the Lord that weren't answered, or were answered differently, or were answered at a later time. Even in the formation of camp, like I remember Thomas Modi one time saying like, man, if we had all the money and the permits up front, like it would have been really challenging for us, and probably we weren't ready for that. And probably the ministry may have even collapsed at that time. And it was just the Lord's grace and timing and in answering that prayer in the time that it needed to be answered, that we received permits and funds when we needed to, not when we wanted to, but when it was good for him to. And so I think, there's moments even in there where I was like, God, you called us to Romania and now we don't have permits to build this camp, or we don't have funds to build this camp. Like, why is that? You know, we prayed for these things and we heard you, you know, why is that? But he is so much greater than that, and he's so much bigger. And I look back now just recognizing that, but that's hindsight. Like, you don't always see that in the moment. So, as Tanya said, recognizing it, God always has something much greater in play than we do. So.
Yes. Well, Tanya, Paul, thank you very much for this conversation. Thank you for all the advice you have given us. És köszönjük nektek is, hogy velünk voltatok. Jövő héten találkozunk. Sziasztok!
Ha szeretnétek munkánkat, szolgálatunkat támogatni, vagy hogy minőségi adásaink legyenek, ezt megtehetitek a következő két módon.
Az első a Buy Me a Coffee platform. Erre nézve fogtok találni egy linket a leírásban, vagy hogyha beolvassátok a képernyőn található QR kódot, akkor már egyből a platformon találjátok magatokat.
vagy egyszerűen banki átutalással a következő Revolut számra.
Hogyha tetszett ez a rész, akkor bátorítunk téged arra, hogy oszd meg a barátaiddal, illetve megköszönnénk azt is, hogyha feliratkoznál a YouTube csatornánkra. Köszönjük szépen!